Welcome to the acclaimed podcast, Deep Dive with Andy and the White Whale.
Welcome to the Wednesday Deep Dive. We are entering week 10. This is your host, the White Whale. I'm joined by the Minnesota's finest handicapper and joke maker via Twitter and Bob McAdoo enthusiast, Andy. Welcome to the pod. How you doing, buddy?
I knew there when we were just talking. I knew there was something. you're like, oh, I guess rants about the NFL. Yeah, that guy. I hope he never gets hired again. Took a proud organization like that, just to the depths of hell.
Yeah, I heard. I can't believe bringing him in for an offensive coordinator next year.
I can't believe the fact that the Jets have won games didn't like start to bother that front office more. Like, you were not supposed to be the shittier team in that city.
By like three games. You remember Todd Bowles was the preseason favorite to be first fired, and here we go. It's the other New York team.
Honestly, if they get to like 7 wins, the Jets, he's coach of the year.
Yeah, seriously. That was my whole angle on backing Kaiser's rookie of the year. I was thinking like, oh man, he just needs to win 6 or 7 games, and people are going to be like, Jesus Christ, he got 6 or 7 wins for the Cleveland Browns. And sure enough, that has unfolded poorly.
He can still win 6 or 7 games. I mean, mathematically,
good man. I got my fingers crossed for Cleveland this weekend. I didn't back them, but they're frisky. Anyway, the Giants news today, it wasn't fully confirmed, but everybody kind of, everyone has a source in the locker room, in the front office right now that says Bob McAdoo's, the axe is imminent. And, one of the funny things, I maybe was a little premature in getting my excitement out there for, oh, it's coming. That I retweeted. Did you see like somebody busted him? He basically like stole that information from some message board or something. Like some total rando on a message board was like, wow, holy shit. And then he came up with basically that same information like 5 minutes after it was posted on that message board and has yet to be confirmed. So I got a good chuckle out of that.
Hopefully it's not some, the old false flag there.
I know.
I really want it to be true. It's like finding out the Easter Bunny's not real.
I know. Well, I mean, at this point, if the Giants don't fire him, then that organization, the snake eats its way up the organization, because they're so incompetent that, every media outlet, everyone who works in the New York media market knows that the team has quit on the coach and they can't stand the coach and they're all angry at the coach, and lo and behold, they're still going to keep him on the payroll. Like, what are you doing? And that drastically kind of plays into what the New York Giants San Francisco 49ers handicap ends up this weekend. That sadly is one of 3 afternoon games we have, and for whatever weird reason, Kyle Shanahan sticking with Beat Hard. I don't know what to say about this. But this is a good jumping off point for like kind of a more kind of global NFL rant, right? This season has not had high quality football. I don't think anyone can argue that, right? There has been awful games every week. Unfortunately for the NFL, a lot of the awful games have coincided with primetime spots. We've had
just the Giants games alone.
The 3 out of the 4 games that were in London were an absolute train wreck. Several of the Thursday night games have been completely lopsided and unwatchable. The Sunday night football games have just been boring. Like, we haven't really had an exciting, close, interesting Sunday night football game as far as I can remember. We've had one good Monday night football game that I can remember, which was Chiefs versus Redskins, and that was only memorable because it was a bad beat for everyone who had the skins in the under, which was like most of gambling Twitter. And so it's just been a bad product in general. And I have got to say, like, the NFL has spent so much energy and so much time screwing around with the anthem protests, with player discipline, with things that have 0.0 to do with why people actually watch football, and they are completely whiffing on the important aspects like getting coaches and player development in place so that they can put a good quality product on the field. And they keep changing that, for whatever reason in the last negotiations, they went balls to the wall, on certain issues, but gave the players as a bargaining chip, like, we're going to practice less. And so lo and behold, you have a lot sloppier football and a lot more, a lot less interesting games. It's taking guys an extra year or 2 years to really develop into quality talent. And, it's like, you don't really need to go any farther. You don't need to bring up some of the ham-handed public relations nightmares that Goodell's been a part of to realize he is the problem. Like, they're not focusing on what they need to focus on to satisfy the fans in terms of quality product. Get rid of Goodell. And I can't believe I'm on the side of Jerry Jones here, which is just ludicrous, because Jerry Jones is maybe my least favorite owner aside from maybe, I don't know, Snyder. He's pretty awful too. But who else is awful is Jim Irsay. Oh my God, Jim Irsay this week with Andrew Luck. God, Jim Irsay, get him out of the league too. God, there are so many owners that I want out of the sport, and Goodell with them, and they need to right the ship and fix some of the key fundamental problems with the way the league is being operated right now to try to bring back some of the fan support that they're losing right now in droves. And I'm hesitant to believe all the stories that I read about that, because I know for firsthand as a cord cutter how many people are not being captured in terms of the digital streaming space. But all that said, like, the product sucks and they need to get it fixed. Am I way off base here?
No. And I don't know what they do about it, but I think you're right about they're concentrating on the wrong things. Like, it is just tiresome hearing about the Anthem shit. And like, the half of it is, it's the, in the media, the media is not the NFL. They're, different entities, but they work together. If the NFL said, hey, we have this broadcast deal, let's tone down the Anthem stuff, they would. And that's just, and I think it has died down a couple, the past couple weeks. I guess I don't see the that was like the thing they'd show before the game. Like, oh, they'd be panning around and then they'd talk about it. And I got over that pretty quick. I don't know. Now we have, I guess the new thing to talk about is the collusion case, which.
Yeah, right.
They're like subpoenaing cell phones and. I kind of hope that like some of that becomes public record. If there's like text messages and stuff, it'd be funny to say. Yeah, look, that'll be interesting. But I don't know. It's so hard to prove a collusion case.
Right.
I really doubt these owners colluded via text. Like, hey, let's don't sign. You just see like Jerry Jones texting, Irsay, right. don't sign cap. Like, that's, I don't know. Yeah. It's a bunch of horse shit. And I think some of the rule changes in the past few years, too, have just, don't you feel like the games are taking so much longer with some of the replays that they're doing right now take forever. And then also just, I think fans not knowing what the hell, like, a pass interference call is supposed to look like anymore.
Yeah,
especially or a catch, or a fumble, or like kind of thing. Like, just let's simplify it a little. I mean, it might lead to some plays getting called wrong, but it probably wouldn't in the long run. It's a trade off I'd make to make the game a little more smooth and commonsensical. Is that a word?
Yeah. I think, the right commissioner who would be brought in to kind of handle these issues in a way that, kept the game moving in the right direction, kept the audience engaged, the NBA had much more flashpoint issues that were dealt with absolutely artfully. They had an owner who was on tape, blasting derogatory racial terms and swiftly fixed it in a way that
justice.
Swift justice. And it's like, like, how do you ham hand this anthem thing in a way that we're talking about it in week 10 is ludicrous. And the Colin Kaepernick collusion case, unfortunately, I have a feeling that if there are, actually is collusion evidence, we're not going to ever see it, because they're going to figure out a way to settle this out of, you know, and have like a non-disclosure, so we never really even know, you know, what the basis of the settlement was. But all this said, you know, the NFL really needs to get its shit together. And week 10, as you look at this card, it's going to be another struggle. It is really going to be a struggle. You have Seattle at Arizona. You're going to see Drew Stanton on Thursday Night Football, whoop-de-doo. You got Brady versus Osweiler on Sunday Night Football. How do you sell that to the fans? Jesus Christ. And then Cutler, for the third week in a row, you have Jay Cutler taking snaps in primetime. This week he's against Cam Newton and the Carolina Panthers. You're going to potentially see, you know, God knows what happened in that game. Jay Cutler either, you know, put you to sleep, or, you know, something terrible happens to Luke Kuechly, or something terrible happens to Cam Newton. It's just, you know, there's not particularly good games on the slate. And
you're a lot of what you're doing is naming like some quarterback matchups, and it really makes you think, like, that I guess maybe we need to appreciate the Bradys and the Rodgers and the Peyton Mannings of the world. Is it that hard? Are there not 32 men in this world that can do that? I mean, is it something that's so amazing that there's only four or five people that can be that good at a time? You know, there are people starting in this league that are very, very bad at quarterbacking sometimes. You know, you have play calling and scheming, and you got your offensive line. It is a team sport when it comes down to it. But I mean, there's just men that are on a different level. That is crazy that some of the people that make it in the league right now.
Yeah. Three of the top 10 quarterbacks are not playing, in Aaron Rodgers, Andrew Luck, and also there are Deshaun Watson in there just out of entertainment value. I don't know if he's necessarily top 10, but he's close.
Bridgewater.
You know, Teddy Bridgewater, although Teddy Bridgewater's back. Silver lining there, man. Teddy Bridgewater is going to hoist that silver trophy for you at home in February if everything works out.
We might do it. What do you think? What do you think they're going to do with that? Like, he's dressing.
They have a problem.
They say he's playing. Like, he could play, they say. He's fine.
I think you have to factor that into the handicap this weekend. I mean, Case Keenum, either one of two things. It's either lights a fire under his ass, or he's hearing footsteps, and he plays conservative and screws up. And I don't know, man. I'm nervous about the Vikings this weekend out of the bye, where they haven't necessarily done spectacularly the last couple of years. And Teddy Bridgewater, you know, sneaking on Keenum and kind of upsetting the apple cart a little bit in terms of what he's been able to do this season. But to be honest, you know, I think Case Keenum's not winning you a Super Bowl, even with this amazing defense. I'm sorry. Like, he's done really well, and he deserves the job. He deserves the starting job right now. But it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world if he put up a foreign performance in Washington on Sunday, I don't think. And that gave him the opportunity to pull the old switcheroo. And we see Teddy Bridgewater close out the season, because I do think their ceiling is higher with Bridgewater, although they're winning the North and they're going to the playoffs with Keenum if they stick with him the rest of the season, as far as I can tell you. So very fascinating. That's a fascinating story. Let's pick a game.
Let's. How about Vikings Redskins? First Thursday, you want to do Thursday last.
We'll say Thursday for last. Let's say Thursday for last. Let's start with Vikings Redskins. In my head, I've made a case for both teams. In the head, I've made a case for both the over and the under. And I'm all over the place here. I finally landed on the over 42. My thinking on the over here.
You don't have to bet it.
Case, you don't. What are you talking about? That is ridiculous. No, my thinking on the over here is basically the passing game for the Vikings is clicking. I like them having rest. I like them. Washington just played, you know, really hard game all the way across the country in Seattle. The defense was out on the field for a long time. and they are going to now turn around after having to travel to and from Seattle and stop this Vikings team that's coming off rusted, coming in hot. There's no weather issues that I'm seeing that I'm concerned about. No wind, no rain. This looks like a nice spot for kind of a lot of possession.
It's looking like a nice weather day on the East Coast this year.
Yeah, some big plays. You got a couple of kickers that are capable. You got a couple of quarterbacks that are capable. Minnesota's defense, if anything about the Vikings, I'm a little concerned that their defense comes in a bit cool off the break because they were firing on all cylinders going into the break. Even if they give up some yards, because the Washington passing game, they have some weapons. I've got to keep an eye on Jordan Reed if he's healthy or not, because that makes a huge difference for the Washington passing game as a whole. But I like the matchup that they have with Chris Thompson against the Vikings defense. That's exactly the kind of player that they need to kind of keep their offense in rhythm, convert third downs and things like that. So I'm interested in both these teams putting up some points. I'm interested in the over 42 here. This is not my most confident play of the weekend, but I do think we see the Vikings get a win in DC, and we see this thing end up over the total of 42. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm going to watch the. This is something I lean Vikings. I don't like to, they were rough out of the bye last year, but I feel like Zimmer knows that, and he knows he that's something he has to correct, because that's got to be on coaching. I want to wait till Friday here, and see the Friday injury report, because right now there is a mile long injury report for Washington.
Yeah, right?
Breland, Crowder, Vernon Davis, a couple of the linemen are not practicing. Reed, Quick. I mean, I'm looking at it right now. It's long, and it includes Spencer Long.
It's long.
So it's like Reed and a couple of those linemen, and then they got a couple of defensive linemen that are injured too. If some of those guys aren't playing, I have to play the Vikings. They're playing well right now. And
yeah, I think it's
a little bit of a sell spot. I think it's just I don't know if they just set this strictly off power numbers, I guess, because that's where most of them would line up, where Vikings are, 4 to 5 points better on a neutral field.
Yeah, I know. I think that's fair on power numbers. I'm surprised that they opened it at -2 and it got bet down to -1. I'm not sure why people are trying to grab Washington +2. Minnesota has pretty strong statistical advantages over them in pretty much every category. I mean, you basically have to be saying Minnesota is going to come out flat if you're backing Washington, you have to say the injuries to Washington don't matter. But whatever the case is, I think the over is a pretty decent play here. It's not one of my strongest, but it's going to make it for an interesting game. And this is of the morning games. This is one of two that I think is going to be one of three that are really worthwhile watching. One of the other ones really worthwhile watching.
Also, who am I kidding? I'm betting the Vikings. That's definitely unless everybody on this injury report is that's questionable, miraculously plays, they'll be on my card.
Yeah. Okay. Let me move down to one that I'm feeling less confident about. That is a little sketchy. I'm back in the Packers again. The Packers were awful on Monday night. They were super awful. The play calling was terrible. Mike McCarthy, he earned every bit of spite that was flying from my Twitter handle on Monday night. That was just an awful performance from a team that had 2 weeks to prepare for a divisional. So that said, Chicago now turns around and comes off of their bye. And it's been weird. The byes, at least in the NFC North, last couple years have been really not, teams have not done well coming out of their bye. As we saw Detroit come out of their bye flat against the Pittsburgh Steelers. We saw Green Bay last week come out of their bye flat against Detroit. Now here's Chicago's turn to come out of the bye. You have Trubisky, you have Hundley, two pretty lousy quarterbacks. That would maybe make you think, oh, well, this is an easy under bet. The total's at 38. This is one of the lowest totals that we've seen of the season so far. And so if you're going under 38, you're basically saying neither of these teams is going to crack 20, or if one cracks 20, the other is going to be held under, under well under 17. So with that said, I'm not interested in the total over or under. I think this is going to be a pretty close game. I think Hundley, there should have been enough successful plays in that Detroit game that are on tape now for Green Bay that they should be able to kind of come up with a more effective offensive approach now going against Chicago. If they throw behind the line of scrimmage, man, in this game more than two times and gain negative yards, I'm going to absolutely be throwing my phone because that is not a play that this offensive line can really block for. However it works out, I see this kind of being a field goal fest and Chicago working out some sort of a narrow victory. So with that said, 6 points was enough for me to get involved on the pack. Are you going to be sitting this one out? Or are you like,
nope, I'm going to take the Bears.
You're into the Bears. Okay.
Yeah,
you've been riding the Bears. I've been riding the Bears.
I like to bet against the Packers also, but I don't think they're magically going to fix this offense on a short week. Going on the road, tough place, outdoors, crappy field, against, I'd say, a markedly better defense.
Yeah.
Okay. The Bears' defense is better. And actually, I'm looking. The Bears are only giving up 2 more points per game than the highly vaunted Rams, Saints, Baltimore. I mean, the Bears aren't a terrible defense. And obviously, they've been a little lucky on some of their scoring off the defense. I don't know if they get all that done, but I definitely see them picking on Hundley during the day. I am seeing like a 5.5. I'm gonna grab that for sure. I'm gonna bet against the Packers until they prove they can do something with this offense. Because really, they got it done against a soft Detroit defense at the end of the half, and then garbage scores. I mean that
right.
when Detroit. Who, and I guess I said it was Slay and then everybody else, but the Quinn, he's a good player. They have a couple of good players, but I mean, I don't think the Detroit defense is not top 15 in any stat that I can find right now. And the Bears are top 10 in quite a few. I think they're a better defense. And I just think if the Bears cover by 6, if they can get 20. Maybe less.
So the Bears and the Pack, this is a rematch of a Thursday night football game from a couple weeks ago.
of the most played series of all time, yes. They've played. I might be wrong on that. But I think it is the most played series of all time.
You're not going to believe it, but there is no love lost between these teams. The Pack beat the ever-loving tar out of the Bears at home with Aaron Rodgers, obviously. It would be pretty impressive in a relatively short span to see the Pack are like 20 points better than the Bears at home with Aaron Rodgers versus they're more than a touchdown worse than the Bears on the road with Brent Hundley. I mean, that's a big swing. There's not a lot, you know, I mean, there's a couple other differences, obviously. It looks like Bulaga is going to be out there tackle. I don't know. I don't think that highly of him, I guess, but maybe he's an important piece. The Packers defense.
That's is the part maybe I my, forgot to mention. That, yeah, he's done for the year. That's the Packers that's defense. Huge.
And the Packers defense is not good. We saw them get exposed time and again versus the Lions. The Lions don't have a particularly good offensive line, and they have an amazing skill set. They have amazing receivers. And what I will say is where the Lions really excel in terms of skill position players, Marvin Jones and Golden Tate, when healthy, are ridiculous. Even Theoretic is damn good. I don't know why they're starting Abdul, or they had been starting Abdul. They're probably going to do Theoretic in this game, next game. But their skill position players are really good. Eric Ebron's catching the ball now. Now you officially have a dangerous set of weapons on offense, and I don't see that with the Bears. The Bears really, they have Jordan Howard, they have Tarik Cohen, they don't have really anyone else. And Green Bay has shown an ability to get after and stop the run. So I do think if you can turn over Mitch Trubisky a couple times, if you can stop the running game from the Bears, I like the Packers here as a frisky play. So I'm going to grab 6 points with them. I'm putting a little heavier juice than I like to play at -115 here for the Pack, but so be it. 6 points works. That's two field goals. This feels like a field goal game anyway. And let's move on to some of the more interesting games of the morning. One I want to kind of skip over real quick. Steelers Colts.
Look that up. I think the series is tied.
Is it?
The Bears. That's cool. I think it's like 95-95-1. So this is the rubber match, maybe.
That's cool. That's cool.
Confirmation. Steelers Colts?
The Steelers Colts, I'm skipping. I'll give you a couple angles, though, on this. That's a big number. The Colts lost maybe one of their kind of secret, low-key best defensive players against the Texans. They have this one defensive tackle who had been grading out really well via Pro Football Focus. I didn't see him play very many games, so I really can't speak to how good he was. But by all accounts, he was a pretty decent defensive tackle. And he's out with a throat injury. He's done for the season. So Le'Veon Bell rushing yard props is going to find its way onto my card in some way, shape, or form, because this kind of feels like the kind of game where Steelers don't even screw around. They just hand the ball off 50 times, and the Colts never really have a shot. The Colts-Steelers game from Thanksgiving last year is probably a pretty decent analog, because that game was also without Andrew Luck, and that game was also with a pretty healthy and hot Steelers team. So you may want to look at that one if you're interested in see how these teams match up. But the spread looks about right. This feels like at least a 10-point game. The total looks a little high, if anything. I think the Pittsburgh Steelers defense is vastly superior to anyone the Colts have played in the last 6 weeks. And they might just – actually, the Colts played the Jaguars. They're a little bit less effective than the Jaguars.
Yeah, I was going to correct you. You beat me to it.
But the Jaguars shut them out. And I think the Steelers can hold this team under, well under 17 points, which I think would get you the under – my metrics are projecting 19 for the Colts, but that seems pretty aggressive. So if you were looking for a total play here, the under is pretty reasonable. The under is 43.5, huh? No, I thought the under was a little higher than that. Okay. The total was a little higher. That's 43.5, which means you need a really good performance by by both defenses to get that number, considering how many possessions are going to be in this game, unless it just turns into a run it down their throat, kill the clock type of fest.
If anything, that under, maybe a first half under, I can see Pittsburgh with one of those 9.5 minute, 15 play field goal drives.
You interested in a sweetheart teaser between Pittsburgh, Cleveland, and the Rams this week?
Oh, so you're saying like Cleveland plus 23?
No.
Are you saying Detroit minus 3?
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Bring Detroit down to 3. Bring the Rams down to 1.5. Bring the Steelers down to 0.5. Seems kind of interesting.
I might be talked into that.
Right, I'm going to keep an eye on that. We're in teasers, heavy duty teaser season right now, by the way.
It is teaser season.
It's teasing season right now. Let's keep cooking. Chargers Jags is another one that I'm going to have a close eye on Sunday morning. The Chargers are coming off their bye. The Jags are coming off a huge victory against it was huge in terms of quantity of points. It wasn't, I guess, really that impactful because the Bengals kind of stink and they are done for the season. They beat the tar out of them. Except for Jalen Ramsey, who got choked out. Although Jalen Ramsey won the public relations battle, some of his comments are just hysterical.
Oh, I was loving
out
that.
AJ Green. Oh, my goodness.
That was awesome.
Oh, my goodness. So funny.
I don't know if he was doing that or if he literally was like, I don't understand. I wasn't making it personal. I just said he's soft and he's old. He doesn't have it anymore or whatever.
Yeah, I wasn't making it personal.
Do you not think it's personal? Because it's even funnier if in his head he's like, it wasn't personal. I'm just saying he's a really shitty wide receiver now.
Yeah, it wasn't personal. He's just not very good.
No, I love that. I'm falling in love with that guy.
Yeah, he's good. Yeah, he's a really good guy. He's a good player at this. I don't know about how good a guy he is, but he's a freaking great player. The the Chargers and Philip Rivers, this is their third game on the East Coast in the early time slot. So I'm not concerned about the travel east to west to east, and I'm not concerned about the early slot. They're coming out their bye, so they shouldn't really have any issues in terms of rest, health, blah, blah, blah. The Chargers can get after the quarterback. We've seen it time and again with Bosa and Melvin Ingram. These are the two, the top pass rushing tandem in the league. The Jags O-line has been fine, but I do think you have an advantage there with the Chargers pass rush. The Jags defense is amazing, without a doubt, but they have a key weakness in stopping the run. And they haven't really shown an ability to affect any type of improvement there, regardless of bringing guys in like Marcell Dareus. And they haven't really suffered any consequence from that because, for the most part, they've been playing with the lead. And if you're playing with the lead, then teams really have to kind of adjust their approach against you. And if they're trying to pass on your vaunted pass defense, then they're not catching up to you, because that's how it works with the Jags in their approach and their methods. And it's impressive. But I think the Chargers, and Anthony Lynn in particular, who has a knack for cooking up some creative run attack, will lean on his running back, Melvin Gordon, pretty heavily in this one, especially early, and will be able to find some space against them in the rushing side of the game. Flip side of that, Blake Bortles, if you can Bortle him, pressure him, really get in his face and get up his ass, I think you can really affect a negative performance from him, which all of this leads to say is I like the Chargers to pull off an upset here. Looking for the Chargers to get the victory, I was keen on it happening, and I was hoping we were going to get a good number on the Chargers, and lo and behold, they opened it, Chargers +3.5. So actually it opened at +4.5. I got it at +3.5. I still think that's a pretty worthy number. Anything outside of a field goal works for me here. And I'll probably sprinkle a little money line as well. So let's go Chargers. Let's hope this is – I'm really pulling for a dog weekend, as you can tell. I've been backing the dogs pretty heavily, and it has not gone well the last 2 weeks. So this is all or nothing for me this week with the dogs. After this, everything, I might just start to just give up and bet totals. You going to go Chargers this week with me?
Yeah, I agree with most of that. It's just a selling high on the Jacksonville Jaguars, even at home, where they have a huge home field advantage with those wild, wild Jacksonville crowds filling up that stadium.
It's pretty, pretty, pretty impressive advantage, I have to say.
Yeah, honestly, either of these teams, no matter which stadium these would play at, it doesn't matter. This is neutral.
Yeah.
I like the Chargers to win the game. I think they're
okay.
They're getting better. And they still have a very good quarterback.
Yeah, they're not out of this. They're not out of this wild card hunt. This is an important game for them. The Jags are, by the way, are looking down their schedule at some very, very easy games in the next several weeks. Did you see this? They got a run of Browns, Cardinals, Colts coming up before they play the Seahawks. So if you are the kind of person that thinks the Jags can win this game, find a way to back them in the futures market, and you will be rewarded with another four game to add to their what do they have, a current one game or two game winning streak? I can't remember. But whatever the case is, you could be looking at a pretty nice return on your investment if you get involved in the Jags now, if you think they win this game. But I'm back in the Chargers, so there you are. The Jets and Bucks is a pretty awful one. I did something kind of silly in this one where I looked at the two teams, and I've got a sense that the Bucks defense has kind of quit. You got Fitzmagic throwing the ball all over the park, although Mike Evans is going to be out of the game. The Jets have kind of found some rhythm on offense, and I think they can score. There's a good argument to be made to back the Jets here at under a field goal, but they're on the road. They're the Jets.
You know, you talked about how the football's so bad this year, We've had a magical season where the Browns and the Jets have been road favorites.
Unbelievable. Can you believe that?
That's an undeniable stat.
Ridiculous.
Right there. Yeah,
it's ridiculous, man.
I can't. The Jets have been good and the Tampa Bay's been bad, but the New York Jets as a road favorite has me a little nervous, and I'm probably just going to get off not watching on this. I'm not going to watch it, not going to bet it.
Not going to watch it, not going to bet it. Okay.
Fitzmagic,
I'm on the over.
Is it the Fitzmagic revenge game, though?
This was kind of, yeah, this is right. This is a Fitzmagic revenge game. This is the kind of game where I feel like Tampa Bay hasn't scored in a couple of weeks. Jets, they are probably a little high on themselves in terms of how good their defense is. I do think you're going to see some points in this one, and the number was sitting there at 41, and I was like, 43, 44, 47 all seems like reasonable landing spots for this game, so I'm going to grab over 41. And then I blinked and looked, and it was 43. So somebody had similar feelings about this one as I did, and it's sitting at 43 now. Or 40, now it's back down to 42.5. So it's moving all over the place. Something weird going on with this total. Even though Mike Evans is not going to be in the game.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't follow these two teams very much, but I mean, let's just start naming some wide receivers that are going to play in the Evans, Brandon Marshall, Eric Decker, Quincy Enunwa. Aerial attack. Well, I'm making fun of this, but.
Kellen Winslow Jr. Kellen Winslow Jr. Like, for. I can't remember. Is Kellen Winslow Jr. on the buck for the Jets nowadays?
I don't I don't think
Warwick Fitzpatrick Dunn, Mike Alston.
He's not going to care. Fitzpatrick's going to be checking out of runs in the passing plays just to sling the ball. He's still got a good tight end down there. And honestly, it doesn't seem to matter who McCown's throwing to. They're making the catches. He's actually throwing the ball pretty well. They're scoring a lot more points than I thought they would. I can see this. I'm not going to bet it because it's stupid, but I can definitely see it. You got a nice number.
Yeah, I think so. Couple thoughts I want to add to this, and I was actually surprised. This is actually a pretty heavily bet game of the morning games. Don't ask me why anyone is betting this besides me, who bets every game. But there has been a lot of bets early on this one for whatever reason. I want to throw this out there. Tampa Bay is not a bad offense. They have some pieces that are fun. And Jameis Winston and whatever is going on with his shoulder and his brain has really limited them big time the last couple of weeks. And so for that, just on that alone, I think you got to think that Fitzmagic comes in and at least gets them to, 20-something points. This feels more like the kind of game that we saw between the Bills and the Bucks a couple weeks ago. If I had to kind of pinpoint how I think this plays out, Jets probably win by a field goal, 31-28 or something like that, and this is a comfortable over for us who got on 41 or 43 or 42.5 or who knows where this is going to end up, because this is a weird all over the place. Let's move on. There's some other good ones that we want to talk about here. I'm looking at the Bengals Titans next. This was a tough one. The Titans have been a tough team for me to pin down this season. I haven't bet many of the Titans games because I really don't have a feel for what in the hell is going on with the Mariota Malarkey combo quarterback coach here. They tried to lose that game against the Ravens. Ended up with a 3-point win.
Ugly push.
The Bengals aren't as good as the Ravens. I'm sorry. And Dalton is just as likely to put up an ugly stinker with a couple of picks as Flacco was. So the fact that they hung this at 3, I found a little suspicious. How did I get -3? It's -4.5 now. This one must be all over the board too. I'm surprised by that.
It did get better. I mean, I think. It's probably
was there heavy Bengals money early, and then it went down and back up.
I'm looking at Bet Chris right now.
4.5.
I don't know where you got that number because I don't think that exists.
Oh, okay, well I'm gonna have to go double check my my tickets here
It started at 5 at some books and it's down to 4. It's at 4.5, 5, 4. It's all over on some of these books. You see some fives.
I must have made a mistake on this one.
whatever the case is right now.
Okay. Whatever the case is, I'm looking for a 24-17 Titans win. So I'm going to back them at 4.5, I suppose, or 4 if I can get a 4 with a pretty even juice, which I should be able to if I can see -4.5 at -102 right now. So I'm going to be on Tennessee -4. I'm going to have to amend my card or make some note there just so people don't get up my ass. But regardless, the Titans, I think, do pull up a pretty comfortable win here. I like what their offense is doing
right now about your fraud lines.
You get
-4, -3, pretty good line, douchebag. It's like a classic Twitter thing. What is that, like
Yeah, the listeners are getting some real-time trolling. I like it. I'm surprised nobody said it to me, to be honest with you, if I made a mistake like that. Usually I get called out on that within 5 seconds of posting it. But anyway, I'm going to look for Tennessee here to win by a nice little touchdown. And hopefully their season carries on into positive space here, because I really want the Titans to challenge the Jags for the AFC South, because I'm not interested at all in seeing Blake Bortles play in the playoffs, even if it means we get to bet against him. I like the Titans to keep things to keep things close in the South. These two teams are tied right now at 5-3 as I look at the standings. We're gonna see when's the next time they face off? I remember they played week 2 and the Titans won pretty handily. That was actually a pretty impressive game, I thought, from the Titans. Maybe their best game of the season so far. They play again. Let's look at the schedule here. Week 17. All right. Okay. So this is a good
prediction.
This is a good
play week 17 and the next week.
Ooh.
Instant matchup. I think they both make the playoffs.
That happens. That happens a fair amount.
Just the Jags schedule. The Jags schedule is going to get them, man.
The Jags schedule is so easy. Titans schedule is not all that much harder. The Titans have games.
No, they're simple schedules.
The Titans, after the Bengals, they have a tough one. They got to go at Pittsburgh. That one's great. By the way, this is a good – there's a couple of great spinoffs here. We can spend a little time on this one before we move on. First one is week 11 is going to be freaking awesome. The NFL, there are great games all over the slate. Starting with Thursday night, you got Tennessee at Pittsburgh. That's going to be a damn good game. The next spinoff I want to have here, Tennessee has some easy games down the stretch. You got Indy, Houston, Arizona, San Francisco – All in a four week stretch here as you get close to Christmas. Their last two games are going to be the make or break games where they're home and they host the Rams, and then finally week 17 where they host the Jags. So as funny as it was, like last year, I remember Thursday Night Football color rush, people were just absolutely shitting on Jags Titans, like who would ever watch this game? This is such a bad game. And now that's probably going to be your most likely game that gets flexed into the Sunday night week 17 spot to decide the division. So how the worm turns in the NFL.
It probably is. I mean, anything could happen. Either of these teams could have a 3-game lead by then, but it just feels like it probably will be for the division.
Yeah, I know. I think what you said makes a ton of sense in that you could be looking at both teams getting in regardless of the outcome of that game. Because these two teams, they just have lousy easy schedules the rest of the way. I mean, they're just winnable games on the whole way. Save one or two spots, which are challenging. The Jags got to go to Seattle, and the Titans got to go to Pittsburgh. You can't win them all. You can't win them all. But they're going to win a lot. Both teams at 5-3 right now. We're probably looking at two teams that are going to have double digit wins. And that'll be worth keeping an eye on. So, speaking of that, one thing about Week 17 that I always like to do is
look ahead. I am tempted by Tennessee, but if I can get a 3 like you, I'd take them for sure. But I'm still it's on my maybe card at the 4.5 right now. It might play. I just think the Bengals suck. I mean, this is like more of a Bengals fan. And Tennessee, their offense needs to click a little more, I guess. They're scoring. They're top 15 in scoring offense. They're not awful, but they should be top 10. That's where they're supposed to be.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm with you. Okay. So, let's see here. Next week, or on Monday, let's circle back and talk about other potential matchups in Week 17 that might be for the division and figure out how that affects the huge futures market, see if we can't find a way to corner the market with some plus money futures. All right, moving down the card. There's one more morning game that I'm into here. Let me see if I can find it here. It certainly is not Detroit versus Cleveland.
Buffalo.
You would think. Oh yeah, let's talk about Buffalo this. Let's Saints. Talk about a better one. Let's talk about a better one. Yeah, Saints Buffalo. This is the third of three really good games Sunday morning. The Saints head up to Orchard Park to take on an angry Bills team that just lost to the Jets. The market has completely bought into the Saints being good.
They did.
And the market has now completely sided that the Saints are good and the Bills are trash. To the tune of, at home, the Bills are laying three, are getting 3 points, and the Saints are laying three. So this is, if you're doing power numbers math, this is telling you that the market thinks the Saints are 6 points better than Buffalo in a neutral field. That's a lot, especially considering this is not a neutral field. This is an outdoor field that will have hovering around freezing temperatures come Sunday morning when the Saints take on the Bills. We're also post-time change, so you're going to see this sunset in the later half of this game. Temperatures are going to be dropping quickly, and I do not like New Orleans in this spot whatsoever, despite the fact that they have maybe made a resurgence and are probably going to threaten for a playoff spot this season. If not a home playoff game, or if not a bye in a home playoff game. All that said, this is a tough spot for the Saints and Drew Brees, who typically struggle outdoors in the cold. And the fact that I get 3 points here to back the Bills absolutely works for me. Is this one we concur on, or do you like the Saints in this spot?
I concur, and I also will be betting against the Saints for the next 8 weeks. And let it be known that the Saints will not win the division. And
I like that.
Possibly, I mean, it's tough to not make the playoffs with six wins already, but I really don't like them. I think they're the pretender of pretenders. I think the schedule has kind of been kind to them. They lost the two games to the two teams that will probably be in the Super Bowl, and then I think they're not going to be able to skate by anymore, and it starts in Orchard Park. The Bills Mafia.
Oh, my God.
No, I love this game. 3 points at home. I think the Bills are good. Bills are going to win a playoff game this year.
Yeah. I like it. All right. Well, let's make that one for one of our contest consensus plays, if it's not too late to get back into that thing. Okay. So the last morning game to touch on, I think the Browns at the Lions is one that you may have been surprised that I wasn't on the Browns, since I bet almost every fucking game and I bet a lot of dogs. The Browns coming off their bye, heading to Detroit. This spread is too high. It's 13 right now. That's silly, but it's still the Browns, and anything can happen. And allegedly, they're going to start Kaiser, but God knows how many quarterbacks we see in this game. Detroit has a type of defense that turns the ball over pretty regularly, and the Browns throw a lot of interceptions and fumble all the time. The Browns have no wide receivers outside of Duke Johnson, who they haven't really figured out how to utilize. All that said, you know, the Browns are frisky. I'm pulling for them here. I'd like to see them put a pretty impressive performance together here and challenge the Lions in this game. But I don't have the stomach for it. I've backed them too many times, and I've lost too much money backing the Browns this year. So I will be passing. And I don't have any opinion really on the total. 43.5. It sits right now. It seems about right. 43, 44 is probably where this lands. How about you? Are you going to bet this game?
No, I don't think the Lions are that good.
I mean,
they beat a team without a quarterback last week, and I mean, they've been up into, what are they, 4-4? And they're not a team.
Yeah, another team with just a stupid easy schedule.
No, this screams of a nasty backdoor.
Okay.
But also,
okay. I can see that happening. I can see that happening too. Okay. Let's take a quick break. I gotta lick my wounds here. I just had a hell of a beat in the NBA right there. Oh God, that hurts. Oh. Let's take a quick break.
I haven't been any round ball.
That's a good way to say. Yeah, the Detroit Knicks game. Oh my God. I'll tell you about it in the break. All right, let's take a break. Yeah, man, I had over 215 points in that puppy, and they were sitting at 211 with 2 minutes to go, and they did not score a single point in the last 2 minutes. I don't even know how that's freaking possible. I kept thinking maybe my score app was broken, but sure enough,
that just
ended at 211. 2 minutes! They had 2 minutes! And they scored 0 points. Oh, God. That is just gross. And then on the other side of things, oh, you gotta be shitting me. Pistons too. Oh my God. The exact opposite happened. I was clearly cruising and they just scored like 15 points in the last 2 minutes in a block. And pulling my damn hair out today. And the other two games I have in action aren't looking like they're gonna come anywhere close to you. I am getting killed in the NBA today. I should have stayed away. Okay, we're back. I sustained two terrible beats at the end of these NBA games, so my mood is going to be substantially less positive on the rest of this pod, so my apologies to the listeners. Let's talk about Texans-Rams here in the afternoon. There's three games in the afternoon. One and a half of them are watchable, and I could not find an angle on the one good game. So I'm passing on it. So I will probably find something to do with the wife on a Sunday afternoon instead of subjecting myself to whatever comes of these two.
Bow, chicka, bow, bow. I like the sound of that.
Yeah. So the Rams are finally home. They've been traveling a lot. They went to the East Coast to play the Jags. They went to London to play the Cardinals. They took their bye, and then they went to New York to absolutely acerate the Giants. Now they're home. I think that you're going to see an effect of all of the travel and all of the time they've played in the early morning in the East Coast with a little bit of a lackluster performance here now in the late spot on the West Coast from the Rams. I saw a sparkle in the eye of Tom Savage as he finally figured out that he could just throw it kind of in the catching vicinity of Hopkins and make completions towards the end of that Texans Colts game. So I'm putting a little bit of faith in Tom Savage to keep this thing inside the number here. As far as the number goes, I got 11 and a half, I got 11. I sold a little bit here to reduce the juice. I think this stays like a touchdown type of game. The Rams have overperformed now three out of their eight games so far. They're pretty much, I hate saying this, but they're due for a regression. They're due for a game where they don't look like the world-beating offense that they looked like last weekend. I want to say more as much of that was great game planning by the Rams out of their bye as much as it was the Giants absolutely quit on their coach. And I think it's going to be a little tougher for them against the Texans team who has nothing to lose this week since their season's pretty much over. And they're going up against their old friendly Wade Phillips used to be in Houston for a long time. And I got to think that, some folks will get them motivated to play a tough game against the Rams here. That could go the other way also. You could see Wade Phillips really get his troops up and play in a spectacular defensive performance against the Houston Texans team that doesn't really look like they have much hope with Tom Savage. So I wouldn't be disappointed if someone was like, oh, I'm absolutely on the under here. The total opened at 47, was bet down to 45.5. So somebody else had the same thought that I'm having. We may have even talked about this on Monday. Did we talk about how this was a good angle on the under?
Yeah, I don't know. Who knows? Yeah. This is not a game I'm betting.
Okay.
This one I passed right over.
Yeah.
I like where your head's at, but I can't bet on Tom Savage.
Yeah.
I do like the Rams selling high off. Whenever you drop a 50, I wonder if we should go to the old SQQL thing and see how teams have done against the spread after dropping a 50 burger.
That's a good query.
Is there two of those games this week? Or was it the other week?
There sure are.
Yeah.
I don't know if there are two games this week. The other guys might be on bye. Who else went over 50 last week? It was Philly. Yeah. Philly, who's on their bye? So, no, we don't know about them. Boy, am I going to fade Philly hard coming out of their bye against Dallas, so I can already tell you that. Anyway, so I'm on Houston here. It's kind of a weak play. I don't think this is like a, you know, game of the year type of thing by any stretch of the imagination. I just know that the Rams have overperformed quite a lot so far this season. And even if you just get an average performance out of both of these teams, I don't think that they go, they have a victory over two touchdowns or a two touchdown victory or more than that. So, we'll be looking for Houston to keep this thing close. Another dog on my card here. And then let's move down to the game of the day, at least on paper. Cowboys-Falcons. I really worked hard to find a side here. I hate the way the Falcons have played lately. They have lost, or they have failed to cover now 3 weeks in a row, depending on what number you got against the Jets. And the Falcons sit here, knowing that Dallas was a public team, knowing that Dallas was a hot team based on just beating the crap out of the Chiefs in one of the most watched games of the season, they still hung Atlanta -3 at home, which tells you that by power numbers, they're saying these two teams are even though the Falcons have looked terrible and the Cowboys have looked good. Dak Prescott looks good. Zeke Elliott, do we know if he's playing? He probably is playing. Who the hell knows? Again, another one of the gripes with the NFL right now. Why in the hell have they dragged this out to this point and distracted from the actual play on the field? Whatever the case is. Dallas is clicking on the offensive line. They're clicking in certain aspects of their defense now with Sean Lee back. So it was a lot of signs here that, you know, don't be stupid, even though they are trying to set up a little bit of a sharp money trap here with the Falcons, just bet the Cowboys. That said, Atlanta hasn't been home in a long time. We haven't seen this team on the turf in a long time. Julio Jones, despite dropping that, and he dropped that awful touchdown pass that would have made the difference in the game, especially if you were an overbacker like myself. He doesn't necessarily look like he's perfectly healthy for this game. He may not be playing, so you may be talking about if you're back in Atlanta, you may be laying 3 points on a team that is looking pretty dysfunctional, that is missing their best player on offense. So you could see Atlanta maybe leaning on their running game and their short passing game a lot more. A lot of catches possibly for Freeman if you're into the prop betting space. Tevin Coleman probably going to have a role in this game as well. Running backs probably just they're going to try to move the ball down the field with that duo. So I thought again, hey, this is a great way or great angle on the under. We just saw the public absolutely couldn't get enough of that over in the KC Dallas game last week. It was bet all the way up to 53.5 by kickoff, and it never really should have been close, even though it was kind of close. That was kind of that bust play at the end of the first half. This week, they thought you would see similar support for the over, so they opened it at 53. It got bet all the way down to 15.5. So there's some pretty sharp money that was out here earlier that was looking for an under bet. And I thought, again, this is a nice approach for this game. Let's look for the under. But again, I think you're talking about a Dallas offense that is doing things. They're clicking. They're scoring touchdowns, not field goals. They're not – the Atlanta defense is not formidable really in any way, shape, or form, in my opinion. And so if Dallas can get out there and score early, Atlanta's going to be slinging the ball to try to catch up, which makes the under a very scary proposition. So good luck to you if you bet the under. And on the flip side, with the Dallas defense looking pretty improved with Sean Lee in the lineup and the Atlanta offense and in a little bit of disarray without Julio Jones potentially, you know, I can't see backing you over here either. So have I sufficiently scared you off any side or total in this one?
I haven't even looked at this one. I'm waiting for the Zeke news. I'm going to reevaluate Friday. Because every week I worry about that, and then it just, maybe he's suspended, then maybe he's not. I don't want to deal with it. I might just not bet it so I don't have to think or hear or do research on the – I know a lot about, like, I know more than I wanted to know on all the legal proceedings on this. So that – it makes me sad that I had to, like, research that from a handicapping standpoint. So I'm going to stay away until I know more on that. I want to bet on the Falcons here, but, boy, I don't know if they just aren't the same team and will not be the same team at all this year without Shanahan.
Yeah.
They might not be a good offense. And boy, what were they up? 10-0 last week? And it was a 20 straight points they gave up. The defense isn't great either. So it is at home, but man, they had one great home game and then they haven't looked good at home either. No, staying away for now. I like that under steam. If I had got like 53, maybe I thought about an under, but for now, that's a dead game for me.
Yep. Okay. All right. Well, sad.
Yeah, I know.
It's sad.
A,
yeah.
It should be a great game to watch. There's a lot of.
Should be a great one to watch. Yeah. Yeah. I feel like I know a lot about these two teams, so maybe there'll be some ways to make some money live watching this one. Let's the last game of the afternoon slate again is a snapshot into the dysfunction of the NFL right now. Giants head out to San Francisco to play San Francisco 49ers in the Field of Jeans. Jimmy Garoppolo apparently is not up to the task of this unseating CJ Beathard as quarterback, San Francisco has all kinds of issues in their offense right now. The Giants, while their defense was utterly embarrassed against the Rams, that more than anything felt like a one game message they were sending to the ownership to finally dispatch McAdoo. And if they finally do dispatch McAdoo, which hope I haven't checked my Twitter recently, but if they finally do dispatch McAdoo, then maybe the defense plays a little bit more formidable game for us here this weekend in San Francisco. Eli Manning looks broken. They're talking rumors that they're going to be drafting a quarterback to either unseat him next year or to learn from him next year, I guess, while he makes one final run. Who knows? But the Giants are a dysfunctional mess. The Niners are a broken offense and a defense that you can't necessarily count on to keep your team competitive. So then there's no reason in this position to back a side. Even though I laughed out loud when I saw the hung Giants, Giants -2.5 or -3 out there at one point, and I was like, you're really telling me that on a neutral field the Giants are 6 points better than any team in the NFL? And I laughed. But all that said, like, screw back in the Niners. Like, this team is going to lose 14 or 15 games this year. Like, this is crazy. So in the end, I took the under 41.5. Is that the number I got?
42.5 is what you posted, but
42.5. Okay,
it's probably 38 knowing you.
Knowing how I left the plate lines.
Hey, man, a lot of it's still 42 across the market right now, but you put 42.5, which
yeah.
I'm checking. We're doing a little it looks like that is an actual number that was out there. So yeah. I'll give that one to you. I like that look. 49ers kick field goals. That's what they do in the Giants.
They do. They do kick field goals, except for that one Thursday night game where they scored 39 points against the Rams. The 49ers kick field goals. So, under it is. Let's see. And, boy, is that a game I don't think I'm going to watch 1 minute of. Night game, Patriots. Patriots, baby. We're back. Brock on has his final stand in Denver. Word on the street is if he does not perform adequately in this game, they will try Paxton Lynch next week before picking up a quarterback off the street for the following week. Denver and John Elway deserve every bit of criticism for constructing a roster that was missing its most key position. Brock Osweiler has had success against the Patriots. Not necessarily the Thursday night football game last year where he was shut out by the Patriots, but in the playoffs, he was frisky. He covered. In the previous season for when he was on the Broncos and this game was played around this time of year in the altitude in Denver, Osweiler beat the Patriots. Although I watched every minute of that game, and that was the rushing attack from the Broncos was unstoppable that day. They ran downhill against a gassed Patriots defense and really blew them out of the water in the fourth quarter in overtime. So I don't know really how much credit I'm willing to give Osweiler. He just happened to not fuck up enough in that game to lose it for them. But all that said, they opened this here -7.5, despite the fact that the Patriots, if you look at their record in Denver, is not good. They rarely are putting up performance worthy of being 7.5-point favorites in Denver. But that's just where we are. That's how bad the quarterback situation has gotten in Denver. This is the most bet game of the week so far. Even though it's not until Sunday night, I'm seeing most of the volume in on this game, and 82% of those bets have chosen to lay 7.5 points on the New England Patriots. Are they walking into a public bloodbath on Sunday night?
I mean, you'd have to be some sort of lunatic, moron, all kinds of things to back Osweiler at any number. And that's just bad. That's just bad. That's just bad use. Oh shit, I forgot about last week. Sorry. Didn't mean that. No, that's I think this line is it's a good line. I don't see an edge either way. I think it's right where it needs to be. Just maybe not so much indicative of the Patriots' dominance as the Denver's incompetence.
Yeah.
Whereas,
yeah.
I mean, you know, the Patriots are going to score up 21-24. Yeah. And if the Broncos, with that, what they're doing on offense, if they can get 14-17, that sounds about right. It seems like both those numbers are right on. It might stay a little bit under. You never know. It just feels like the total or the side is going to really come down to, like, the last drive. I'm going to stay off this one unless I see something fun. Yeah. I'll probably be prop betting it because is it the afternoon or which one's the night game? Is that Carolina?
This is it. This is our Sunday Night Football.
Oh, this is Sunday Night. Carolina's Monday.
Standalone.
So, yeah, there'll be some prop.
Standalone game.
Prop bets. Yeah, otherwise I'm staying off it.
So, the Patriots, they just beat the they just beat the Chargers by 8 before their bye. Mm-hmm. They beat the crap out of the Falcons the week before that on Sunday Night Football. Their defense has been vastly improved, which ironically has correlated with both Stephon Gilmore not in the lineup and Dante Hightower now on IR. So go figure how they fix this defense on the fly with the personnel they have, which is a testament to Matt Patricia is probably, he's probably a pretty worthy coordinator, I suppose. The look I'm going after in this game is under 46. I've lost a lot of unders on the Patriots this season. I lost the opener. I had the under against the Chiefs when they gave up a billion points. I had the under against the Panthers when they gave up a billion points. And this to me looks like a pretty interesting spot to finally get one home. The Denver defense is a unit that I think highly of, even as awful as they looked against the Eagles last week. I think they have a lot of pride. I think they have a lot of respect. I think they play their best football at home in Denver, and I think they're going to make it a long day for the Patriots, and the Patriots are going to be without Chris Hogan in the passing game. They're going to be really, really leaning hard on their running backs in the passing game because you got Gronk now and a whole bunch of players who, you know, you really can't count on Cooks very much. You really can't count on Amendola very much. They're going to see a lot of passes to Gronk and a lot of passes to the running backs. that's kind of looks I like Denver to be prepared to stop. And you know, this is a nice spot for an under. 46 is awfully high for a team like Denver, who may not be getting into the 20s, even though they're playing the terrible Pats defense. So who knows if the Pats defense is terrible, but regardless, I'm buying the Pats defense and the Broncos defense to perform well here out of the bye for the Pats, which has been a little bit of a tricky spot for them in the years past. At altitude for the Pats, which has been a little bit of a tricky spot for them in years past. All this to me adds up to a nice look on the under. With that said, all that's left is the Monday night game. Do you want to touch on this now, or do you want to save this for Monday pod?
Yeah, save it.
Okay, nice. Let's save it. All right. I'm gonna be lining up with Cutler again because I can't help myself.
But you didn't save it.
I'm not going to tell you why. Tune in Monday for why.
Oh, he's the most efficient quarterback last week. He keeps it looking good. All right. How about tonight or tomorrow night, depending on when you listen
Thursday.
To this?
Oh, man. I totally forgot about Thursday. Thursday night.
NFC West clash.
NFC West clash. You remember what happened last time we saw two teams face each other from the NFC West on primetime? It was a 80-point game, right? Rams, Niners. I see this playing out the same way, 80 points. So I'm going to take over 41. How about you?
Seahawks,
okay. I had Seahawks circled.
Right.
I had the Seahawks circled all week. They got to get right. They got to finally
Adrian
win.
Peterson
game
ran
style.
The ball
they
like
got to finally cover.
50 times last week. He's going to be.
Yeah.
He's probably still in the ice bath. He's still sitting in an ice bath right now. He's tired.
0.0. Yes.
They got to get something going. If they know they're a team that's they're expecting themselves. You know, they expected to be a higher seed in the playoffs and do well this year. They look like shit. They need to get right. If they can't make this happen, I might not ever bet them again in my entire life. But I'm going to take the Seahawks. That's just
if they don't get it tonight, they're not
just
getting.
My power numbers and all that. Just how I line the game. The Seahawks should win by like 10. That's just at least they're against Drew Henson, Drew Stanton, Drew Carey. I don't know.
Yeah,
there you go. Yeah. Oh, by the way, going to the three steps fast, the SDQL, if you scored 50 points, if you scored 50 points last week, this only goes back to what, 2007, I think, is what it ran me. It's pretty close to just dead even on the money next week. Like 27, 31, and 2 for like losing a quarter unit.
Okay.
But three teams made the list 2 weeks in a row. Where if you scored 50 thrice, they scored 50 again the next week. But it was like the Seahawks a couple years ago, Peyton Manning's Broncos, Aaron Rodgers' Packers.
Okay.
So, I mean, those were good offenses.
Right in the conversation with the Jared Goff Rams.
One team, though, the most fun, and this is, I mean, this really has nothing to do with anything, but this is just fun. One team was the Giants in 2012 who scored 50 plus and then lost 34-0 the next week. So they averaged like 25 points for 2 weeks. That's not bad.
Nice. Hey, so I guess a couple questions for you if you're back in the Seahawks. You nervous at all that it looks like no Earl Thomas and maybe Richard Sherman?
That is, I give a shit about Richard Sherman. He's washed. Oh my god, he's like last year's. Who was it for the Jets? Boy, he was the biggest damn name, and now I can't even think. Yeah, that's so sad that I can't think of his name. My god, the beginning of last season, it's like, who is this slow old dude on the field? Who's grandpa put on a Jets uniform? This sucks. Yeah, Richard Sherman. He doesn't look like a very good cornerback. He looks mediocre. I'm not worried. I think they could throw someone else in there to get beat. I don't think Thomas plays, but I don't think it matters with
Okay.
Henson.
Well, I'm looking for an over here. This 41 feels a little low. I'm looking for like a 24 to 27 points performance from Seattle and something in the high teens, low 20s for Arizona. So I'm happy taking over 41 here. If I had to kind of, in my mind at least, envision like a way that this plays out, I can see this playing out a lot like we saw Dallas at Arizona on Monday Night Football, like week 3. I think Arizona's frisky. I think they're going to look like they should cover for some points of the game. And I think at the end of the day, Seattle pulls away and gets the win. I thought long and hard about backing Seattle. And with a number like 5.5, that's out there right now. And if that gets even depressed even more because people are like, well, no Earl Thomas, you know, and that number keeps drifting down, I'll probably get involved in that as well. But, yeah, over for me tomorrow. And we'll see if we can keep a little bit of a heater going for Thursday Night Football. It's been a while since I took one on the chin on Thursday. But with the way the NBA is going for me tonight, maybe I'm due for a little bit of a regression. So, who knows?
No such thing as due.
Yeah, that's right.
That could happen.
Okay, all right. Well, what kind of final score are you predicting for Thursday Night Football?
Oh, you want the over? 42-0 Seattle.
All right.
That'll work. I just 31-17. I do think it's high scoring. I might be on that over. I probably would. I'm actually hoping for a low scoring first half, and I'm looking. And sometimes I look ahead to second half overs when I create first half scenarios in my head well before the game happens, and then they don't play out like that anyway. But low scoring first half. The second half, in fact, that's my bet. Second half over. Second half,
you know what?
Over, I like it. 20 and a half is where it's going to be at. Mark that down. I like write it. That down. So whatever.
Seattle offense shows up in primetime. And I think that they're going to have to feel a little bit of extra emphasis on scoring touchdowns instead of trying it for field goal attempts based on the status of Blair Walsh's mental state. So all this goes to say, 41 is a nice number to get over. And I'll be enjoying that game tomorrow night. And let's get this pod up for the people, buddy.
I dig it. We'll talk to you. Right. Well, I mean, I'll probably talk to you, but we'll talk again on a podcast Monday. Best of luck this weekend. I think you're gonna do good.
Oh, that's
feels like it. 7-4. Calling it 7. So my 3 main predictions. Write these down, people. Whale goes 7-4. The second half line opens Thursday at 20.5, and the Saints miss the playoffs.
I love it.
All right.
All right, Andy. I'll talk to you. Goodbye.